Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I'm your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I am here with very special guest, Christina Wong. And Christina and I have one question for you. Are you a perfectionist? Today, me and Christina are going to get into some pretty wonderful things, and Christina is going to share her story with you. So before I get into all my questions, I just love to give the floor to each guest so you can introduce yourself and let the listeners know how you got started on this journey.
Absolutely. Thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to dive into it with you. I call myself a recovering perfectionist. So that is a space I come from. And my journey of personal growth started, I would say, formally about 10 years ago. And I was just feeling stuck. And I couldn't figure out what I was doing that, you know, was keeping me stuck. And I had a friend say, would you be open to talking to a coach? I talked to a life coach, and I had talked to a therapist years before that to help me with some anxiety and depression. And I thought, what have I got to lose? Like, something is happening. I can't see it. I need an outside perspective. So that was the start of my personal journey. And then through that, I just have felt so inspired to share what I've learned, because there has been so much freedom that I have found along the way. And I want everyone to have as much access to that as possible. So I work with people to help them, you know, figure out those places they feel stuck, those things that they have that we all have that, you know, we stop and we go, why do I keep doing that? Why did I just say that? I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to do that, but we can't seem to stop. So I help people identify and understand where those things are coming from so that they can learn to let them go and kind of implement and embody newer and maybe healthier, more balanced tools.
I love that. And I love recovering perfectionists. I love that. I want to get into the moment that you realized that, okay, this is actually not healthy. And what did you do in that moment to start affecting change in your life?
So it was actually before I started seeing a life coach myself. And I had been in a relationship and I thought it was going well. And then bam, out of nowhere, it felt to me like, oh, it was over. And it's just racking my brain of, well, what if I did this differently? Or what if I had shown up better in this way? Starting to realize, like, you know what? Maybe there's something underneath that. Maybe it's not about showing up in a better way that kind of I think the other person wants me to show up as. Maybe I need to release some of that. And maybe the pressure for me to show up perfectly is actually impacting our dynamic. Maybe it's impacting the energy in the relationship itself. And so that kind of started it. And I think is also what opened me up to when my friend, not that long afterwards, had suggested I talk to someone. So
I think I'm not even going to say, I know I'm a recovering perfectionist, control freak. And maybe I dabbled a little bit in some OCD type habits, because what I learned with myself was all of those things for me were trauma responses.
Yes.
So I had to control certain things in my life, because there was a point in my life where I had absolutely no control of things. And it was understanding that and identifying what those things were and that they're no longer present in my life. That's what kind of helped me start moving away from that. So I want to talk about how you create safe spaces for people. Now, Christina and I had this beautiful pre-show, and in there she said that she believes in creating safe spaces and she likes creating safe spaces for people. So I want to get into, what are some of the key elements that you think are necessary for someone to feel safe enough to grow?
That's a great question. And I think that the biggest piece is not feeling judged. And so often we're carrying around the judgment within. We've internalized voices from years and years of, whether it's well-meaning caregivers, loved ones, friends, and society at large, telling us we should or shouldn't be doing all of the things. There's never like a perfect way to be. And we can carry so much shame with that inside. And so I help people learn to access self self-compassion by first providing it for them. So helping them recognize that inner critic and helping them reframe it and helping them see that these behaviors don't make us bad. And they were coping mechanisms that were an attempt to keep us safe for so long. And we didn't have anybody else, for whatever reason, to show us a healthier way. That's what we learned from the environment that we were in. And we were doing the best we could with what we had at that time. So can we hold compassion for ourselves that, wow, that helped me survive to this point? Now, I want to do more than survive now. I want to thrive. But instead of shaming myself for those patterns, can I hold them with compassion, which is going to allow me to see them more honestly and then release them versus, no, 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 I don't do that. That's not me.
Oh my gosh. How many times have I looked at the mirror and been like, no, no, girl. No, actually, yes, girl, that's you. You did that.
Yeah.
There was a conversation that I had a long time ago that I found to be very helpful that I believe ties into what you just said. And that was about grace.
Yes.
And giving yourself grace. And it was presented to me like, you give so much grace to everyone else. You take the time to understand everyone else and to support everyone else. What if you did that for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Learning that we're worthy of all the love that we share with everyone else in our life, of the grace, of the compassion, we're also worthy of that. We don't have to earn love. We are worthy simply because we exist in this world. But again, popular messaging has us believing otherwise. So just kind of trying to unlearn all of those things and get rid of and release all of that programming and messaging that we've kind of held on to for so long.
I'm going to deviate from the script for a moment and ask you, since we're going there, what are some of the things that you do to show yourself love and to reassure yourself that, hey, I am worthy of this and I'm going to go after it?
So, I mean, in all honesty and complete transparency, that's an ongoing thing for me. Right now, I'm working through another layer of receiving and feeling safe to receive. So for me, this healing, this work happens in layers. We access what we're ready to access, we let that go, and then we access another layer. So for me right now, one of the biggest things that I find helpful is slowing down. When I slow down, I can create more space to question, do I have capacity for this? Whether it's something that I want to do or something somebody else has asked me to do, why am I wanting to say yes to this? What stories are coming up for me if I say yes or if I say no? And then another thing that I've tied into my morning routine right now is actually mirror work, which can feel really awkward at first. But literally looking myself in the eye in the mirror and saying, I love you, you're worthy, and you don't have to earn my love. It is here. It is unconditional, and I'm here for you.
That's beautiful. I like that. I think everybody should have that thing that they do in the morning to give themselves that motivation to get out there and tackle the day. Yeah. I have a morning check-in. I went to a conference, I think it was like a month ago. And one of the speakers at the conference was saying that for all I do every day for 7 minutes after my alarm clock goes off, and he had the longest list of things that he affirms in his life. Like I was like, he's about to go over the whole 7 minutes with us. But all the things he was saying was so powerful. And I was like, okay, I think in my morning check-ins, I'm going to add in some affirmations, because I go through my check-ins and then I get up and I go get my kids up and I affirm them. And I was like, but how about before I affirm them, I affirm me? So now I have a check-in, affirmations, and then I go wake up my boys, do the whole thing with them, and then roll through the day. But it does change the outcome. And like, I talk to listeners a lot about, like, there's going to be some funky days. Like, we're real human. There's some days where we just don't want to do it. We don't want to get up. I don't want to be bothered. But having that conversation with yourself can change the direction and the outcome of the day. Yeah, I'm tired. I don't want to do it, but the attitude that I have when I approach it is going to be very different. And like, so yeah, I think that's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, what you're teaching your boys with those affirmations, I hope they carry with them, and I imagine they will, and they'll be able to do that for themselves as adults. I mean, my parents were lovely, but they didn't know about doing affirmations or things like that. So now it's like, oh, can I give that to my younger self, my inner little girl, and, give her what she needed when she was growing up and tell her that her light matters and it is safe to be her, even if it looks different than how anybody else is moving through the world.
My 6-year-old is annoyed with it, by the way. Like, he's like, I know. I was like, oh my gosh. Are we already there with the, I know, mom. Okay, mom. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna be quiet. So
Hilarious.
I always at the end of the show ask about selective hearing, but I, when creating your package, found a way to work it into the middle of our conversation because I just loved how you described selective hearing as being intentional about what you tune into. And so I'm like, how do you personally decide what deserves your attention, and how do you like filter out the rest?
It's a constant check-in process. It's constantly checking in, and I don't always catch it right away. But whether I'm at a party and like the vibe is like, woof, I'll remove myself. And even just to go to the bathroom for 3, 4 minutes to breathe and say, you know what, you don't have to be in that space. You can join another conversation. And so just checking in with how things feel in my body. So often we live in our heads and we're intellectualizing and analyzing everything. But when we tune into our body and how things feel inside, a lot of the answers end up lying there. So if we can kind of slow down, bring our attention back inwards, then we can make decisions that are aligned for ourselves. And then we also are better able to take responsibility. So I was thinking about the question earlier this week about what does selective hearing mean to you? And I also thought about taking responsibility, stepping into our power and realizing, oh, I do get to make those decisions. I don't get to control everything that's happening around me, but I do get to choose what I pay attention to and what I attach to.
The only person that you are in control of is yourself. How many times did my life coach tell me that in the beginning when I was just fighting against everything she was saying to me? Like,
Yes.
I would be
Because
like,
we want to
but.
blame everyone and everything, right? That's easier, that's safer, but it gives away our power. And at the end of the day, we can't control what's happening, but we can control how we're responding to it. We have that responsibility, that ability to respond.
Oh, I agree. I have countless amount of sessions where I went in like, no, you're not, you don't hear what I'm saying because they did. She's like, no, I heard you, but let's table that for a minute and let's talk about you. And I'm me. Oh, how uncomfortable is that?
Yes, right? Yes, it's part of that looking in the mirror. And so that's why building a foundation of self-compassion is so helpful in that process, because then you can be like, all right, I don't like what they did, but what was my part in this? Even if it was like 2%, how was I showing up in this? And is this how I want to continue to show up in the world?
Okay, so we're gonna get into this is probably one of I have a long list of favorites, but this is one of my very, very favorite things to talk about. And it is that critical voice that lives in our head and how persistent it is. So I am gonna ask you, what are some of the practical tools that you use to kind of shift that narrative and take your power back?
So one of the things that I like to do is it does require a bit of time. So it can be hard to do in the moment if you're like out and about in the world. But when you can bring your focus back to yourself and kind of picture an age where that message felt really persistent. And maybe you were a teenager, maybe you were younger than that. And ask that version of you, what do you need right now? What are you afraid of happening? And what do you need right now? Because adult me can give that to myself. Maybe it's just holding space for that version of me that feels scared. Maybe it's that I need to actually kind of give myself a hug. to help calm, whatever critical message I'm hearing, or doing that mirror work. Maybe it is reframing, but usually I try to start with kind of the physical stuff. So asking kind of a younger version of me or previous version of me, what do you need right now? And then another thing I really like to do is to build self-esteem long term is to start to follow through for yourself. So often we get caught in like, I want to do this. I want to drink more water. I want to do all these things for myself. And then at the end of the day, it's like, God, I didn't do any of them. And so if we can pick one tiny thing to add to our day and do that for a few weeks and make sure we follow through for ourselves, that starts to build our self-esteem because we're teaching ourselves, right, my word has weight, my word matters, and I'm going to follow through for myself. And so it just starts to kind of strengthen your inner voice and bring you more in tune with, so that you can observe when that inner critic is starting to say, like, you can't do that. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, oh my goodness. I talk about this a lot on the show. I used to yell at mine like out loud, like girl lies. Like we would have arguments out loud, like Julie's going to crazy town arguments, like lies, girl, not today. Just to like disrupt it, and then I can insert what's really happening in there. Like, okay, I'm nervous about this. So here is that little alarm system going off telling me that I can't do something. So, what is there to be nervous about? You're confident in this. You have knowledge in this. You know exactly what you're doing. You've been doing it. Go after it. And then it just kind of fizzles out. But yeah, oh my goodness. Before I knew what it was definitely something that drove me.
Yeah, it ran the show, right? Yeah. So that's, you brought up a good point that it made me think about somatic practices as well. So sometimes when we're feeling anxious, we can feel like almost like a tingling or like, oh God, I can't sit still. And I try to lean into that. So maybe I like shake it out. If I'm alone, I'll like shake my whole body. If I'm in public, maybe I'm just kind of shaking my hands and move that energy. And then also, like you said, creating space between who I am and that inner critic. So I'll say like, okay, I see you. I see you. I know you're trying to protect me, but I've got us. You don't have to do that. I've got us.
Okay, so I'm gonna jump into a conversation that we had in the pre-show because I really, really want to get into the connection between our mental space and our body and what things that you found effective to move away from just living in your head space.
Yeah, been a really, really big part of my journey, and I find a really big piece of the journey for the people I often work with, because a lot of us aren't taught that, you know what, whatever thought I'm having often stems from an emotion, which stems from like a physical sensation. So if we tune into maybe we're having like butterflies in our stomach, we could assign nerves or stress, or we could assign excitement, right? We get to decide what story we attach to that. And that often happens so quickly in our head that we don't realize it. And then we attach and we start to spiral. So when I start working with people, I will ask them to describe any sensations that they're noticing. Do you feel tension in your shoulders? Is your jaw clenched? Because I do that a lot. Even when I think I'm relaxed, I'm like, oh, actually, I'm clenching my jaw. Do you feel, lower back pain? Whatever it is, there's no right or wrong. These are just things to notice and things to observe. And then we can get curious about them. So reconnecting to the actual physical sensations in our body, in a big way that I've done that as well is through movement. And that can look different for everyone. Some people love doing weights, some people love, jogging. I've been doing yoga for the last while and just connecting to my breath, moving my body in the morning, which allows me to connect to it and feel what's happening. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm trying to do whatever stretch and I can feel that that side is tight today. Okay. And just having more awareness around that can bring us A, back to the present moment so that we're not as caught in our head. We can realize, okay, this is where I am right now, instead of letting our mind run away with stories. And then again, it allows us just to get curious. Oh, I wonder why that's happening. I wonder what that's trying to tell me.
I'm going to get into your passion for self-compassion. And I know we visited this a little bit in the beginning of our conversation, but I want to dive a little bit deeper. And I also want to ask you, so there's two parts to this. If you could speak to someone today and just give them a message that they can take away from this conversation to really just help them, what would you say?
I would start with letting them know that they're not alone, even if they feel alone. And then I would just go into like, it is safe to be you. It is safe to shine your light into the world. It is safe to let those messy parts out and to embrace all the imperfections that are there. You don't have to keep bearing them down in shame. And there are people who love you with all the messy, and the people who don't aren't your people. And that's not easy. We can lose some people in that process, but we gain ourselves. And there is no more worthwhile a journey, I think, than that.
There is a freedom, a great freedom that I feel is associated with finding yourself and embracing all of the beautiful chaos that is intertwined in that being, which is you. And once you're like, okay, this is my stuff, and I'm cool with my stuff. Like, I think that that is, even for me, has been like the most rewarding and freeing thing ever. Just like being like, I was that crazy lady once upon a time. That's okay. Like, look at her now. And then may and this the crazy lady that was about 3 years ago is this lady today. But tomorrow I can be very much changed. And I'm okay with that too. I'm just on the path and enjoying the journey.
Yeah, it's creating space for all versions of ourselves, right? And learning that they all are part of us and they don't make us good or bad. And, when we can, I talk a lot as well about core values. When we can live in alignment with our core values, then we show up in the world as the person we want to be, and the rest doesn't matter. We can't control anything else. So just keep being it. Don't worry about all the stuff you're doing. Who do you want to be?
Oh my gosh, that brings me to, oh my goodness, maybe like a month or so ago, I'm gonna butcher this quote. Everybody, I'm good for this too. You know it. So get ready for this butchered, beautiful quote. She said, though, how do you want to show up? And when you get there, what do you want people to see? And I was like, okay, I want people to see light.
That's beautiful.
Like, that's the one thing that I'm like, I want people to see light. I want, when you see me, you see a safe space. You see someone that is not going to judge you. If you need a hug, I'll hug you. If you need, woo, woo, I'm there. Like, that's what I want you to see. I don't want you to feel like you have to hesitate. And it doesn't have to be like a big production. Like I said, it can be a hug, it can be a smile, it can be a have a good day. My kid's old school, when I decided to pull him and put him somewhere else, the principal emailed me and was like, I'm really gonna miss you saying, have a good day every single day, no matter what. And I'm like, that actually made me cry reading the email, like, oh, but I was like, I didn't, I'm just, that's what I do for everyone that I come in contact with because I know what it feels like to have a bad day. And like, that may be your day. So that have a good day, or I things will be better, or that woo woo woo. So I that's what I want people to see when they see me. And so I guess, like, I think that's a beautiful question to ask you guys today as you're getting along your Monday is, when you show up in the world, what do you want people to see? So, and then what do we have to do to get there?
How does that, when you think of someone who reminds you of what you want to see, right? How do they show up? And does that, so long as it aligns with your core values, I'm all for it. Don't make yourself into someone you're not to get there. Get there by being exactly who you are.
Oh, everybody, I know you are loving this conversation because I am. And this is the part where I ask the big show question again. So before we part ways, I am going to ask you formally, what does selective hearing mean to you?
So, selective hearing means to me being intentional and taking responsibility for your life and what you pay attention to, what you let in, what you put out, and how you show up in the world. When you decide that you get to be in charge of that, of, whatever chaos is going on around you, you get to choose what you let into your world, what you give your energy to. That to me is selective hearing.
Everyone, I really, really hope that you enjoyed this beautiful conversation today. And before we go, I am going to make sure that you know where you can connect with Christina. So, look, we go through this every single week. I give it to them three ways, so there's absolutely no excuse. You are going to get this information in the show details. It will also be listed at selectivehearingshow.com on the resources page. And Christina is going to tell you how you can connect with her so that you can ask her any questions you'd like.
Yes, I'm most easily available on Instagram, and my handle is at Your Journey Back to Self. And honestly, all of my content is there because I like to make it as accessible as possible. So if you're not into one-on-one or it's not something that's feasible for you right now, please check it out and see if it resonates with you. And my email is Christina@yourjourneybacktoself.com. So you can also find me there or on my website, which is www.yourjourneybacktoself.com.
Christina, thank you for all of that. And thank you for being here today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And everyone, enjoy your Monday, okay? We are powering through the new year. And whatever your resolutions are, whatever commitments and promises you have made to yourself, I am on the back of your jacket. Keep going. And until next time, this is Selective Hearing.